Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, where we talk about TV and film all the time, multiple times a week. And you guys love it. And you subscribe and you follow and you email and your life is better because of it. And you're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah, literally, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. But we've got some fun stuff cooking up this week because we don't have Lost anymore. Star Wars Marathon starts next week. So this week, we're just like, barreling through some of the chosen films that have been chosen by our patron subscribers.
It's a goofy week. It is. There's some silly movies. My triple feature made no sense. I watched Tenet, Kung Pao Enter the Fist, and Action USA in one day.
You did that in one day?
And The Other Woman, a movie with Leslie Mann and Cameron Diaz. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah. It's like a 2014... comedy with Kate Upton and Nikolai Coster-Waldau. Jamie Lannister was the husband in that.
I so love him.
It's a weird couple of days in the movie world at my house for sure. But today is a film chosen by Ricker John, Action USA from 1989. And I don't think Steve or I, either of us, had seen this movie. We have no experience with it. We'll talk about our overall thoughts and then do, I guess, a recap, you'll call it. I'm curious to know, because I think John recommended this movie knowing what it is, right? My understanding is I can't fucking wait to hear you guys talk about this goofy ass movie, right?
Yeah. So I've been trying to reach out to the patrons to ask them like, hey, why did you choose this movie? So we can like read it out loud on the show. And so we can get like a human perspective, like, why is this so important to someone? And so before I even watched the movie, or even looked up what it was, I asked Ricker, you know, why did you choose this movie? Does it hold a special place in your heart? And he essentially was like, no, I just thought it'd be really funny to hear you guys talk about this awful movie.
Cool. Fuck you too, buddy.
Let's see. What did he say exactly? He said, it's not really important to me at all, LOL. I was just trying to think of a movie you guys probably had never seen that you would have a fun time watching and talking about. It's just good action schlock starring Max Dad from Always Sunny. Although I think Kit might hate it since he'd probably be watching it by himself. It's definitely a movie that is fun to watch as a group and make fun of.
That's the experience that I've had with a lot of movies. I think he's spot on there. There's a thing where, and I think I've talked about this before, but there's a thing people think is a thing so bad it's good. And since I watch 99% of my movies, I watch alone. I don't have that so bad it's good experience. It's just bad. you know, it's just a waste of my time. However, I think I did enjoy this movie more than people thought I would. But I'm excited to hear what you think, Steve, watching Action USA. What was that like for you? Tell us about it.
So I had never heard of this movie before Ricker suggested it. I sat down to try to think of, like what it was, kind of get myself mentally prepped for it. And I look at the poster for it. I'm like, oh, I immediately know what this movie is. I immediately know what this movie is going to be. And I kind of can't wait. And so the movie starts. This movie is just bad, right? It maybe has, it's maybe the worst 80 yard film I've ever seen in my life. Like the 80 yard.
You haven't seen Madam Web.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I have not yet. But no, like every single person that's talking on screen definitely re-recorded their lines in a sterile environment. So their voices do not sound like they're actually where they're supposed to be. The editing is really bad. There's a couple parts where I'm pretty sure a competent editor would have made these scenes a particular way, but the editor just was like, oh, I've got these shots. Let me just lay them out and how they shot them. Right. But it's not how the story was supposed to work. But it begins in a really weird way where who I assume was the protagonist of the movie just fucking flat out sucks and is awful and I hate him. But then that guy died. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I don't feel bad now. And then the quote unquote villains, they like build up this one guy, like, oh my God, Frankie's calling Drago. Oh, fucking Drago's coming. And it's just like some dude's dad in a duster.
Yeah, they build him up like he's like the ultimate tracker, and he's just another douche who's equally ineffectual.
There's nothing better about Drago than the overweight mustachioed guy in the beginning. That's kind of the main villain in the main henchman in the beginning 15 minutes of the movie. There's nothing different. But what I do like, honestly, honest to God, fucking love about this movie, other than the schlock, other than the stupidity, other than the fact that it's funny, like this movie is so unintentionally funny. I absolutely adore the fact that the three henchmen that are running around, there's Drago, there's Hitch, and there's Lucky. I love that they are fucking broing out so hard the whole movie. Like Hitch and Drago's like, yeah, I did time here. And they're like, oh, well, I did time here. Like, oh, you're so cool. And they're like, banging knucks, and Lucky's in the back. Like, boy, I wish I can grow up to be as cool as you guys.
I was in prison.
Yeah. And the fact that they're like Lucky would do something incorrect and Drago like, God damn it, Lucky, you fucked up. And Hitch would be like, he's doing the best he can. Like, I just love how tight-knit that little group of henchmen are. I kind of want the movie just to be about them. He's so trying, fun to watch. Man. Yeah, leave him alone. He's just a kid. He's just a 45-year-old kid.
He's got like this receding hairline.
It's so funny. Terrible movie. Really bad, but I actually enjoyed most of my time watching this movie. It was kind of funny to watch. Kit, what did you think about it?
So you guys know my past. I grew up on action schlock. Like I used to watch stuff, not this bad, but close to it. Unironically, was my favorite shit in the world, you know? So with that in mind, I think I got more enjoyment out of it than you would think. I watched this on Tubi. I imagine you probably did as well.
I watched it on Pluto TV.
Ah, you're just built different. This was directed by Jon Stewart, not the Jon Stewart, John with an H.
He just returned to The Daily Show. I'm kidding.
Yeah. And apparently he's like a stunt coordinator, stunt man. So this makes you appreciate Chad Stahelski more, I would think. Because like the stunt man movies we used to get are Action USA. Just a string of car stunts cobbled together around a bare bones plot, which I guess you could say is John Wick. But then it's an elevated version of that. If I had to describe this movie to someone, I would start with a question. Have you ever seen a feature length porno from the 80s or 90s? And they would say shyly, bashfully, of course. And then I would say, imagine that, but without all the sex. And that's Action USA. Like, that's the production value. That's the acting that you'll get.
Yep.
And then they just cut out all the sex scenes. They left some boobs in, but they cut out all the sex.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it was funny. So this week was really, really busy for me, like in terms of work and like the stuff I had to do for the show. There's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes that like we're trying to get together. Yeah, a lot of moving parts. So I was trying to figure out like how am I going to watch all these movies I have to watch this week. So I thought, oh, I can watch Action USA on my lunch break at work. Like I'll just close my office door, eat my food, start watching Action USA. And like the first like 5 minutes, like titties pop out. And I'm like, ah, nope. Shit. That's going to pop up on a log somewhere. Damn it. Yeah.
There's like a klaxon sounding. Boob alarm. Boob alarm. Yeah. What a trip, man. I was actually, as somebody who would like to make films, I was like, I don't know how they got the budget for this. You know, some of the stuff, some of the action is legitimately expensive looking. They crash some Mercedes. They blow up a lot of stuff. I mean, this is.
They got a helicopter.
It probably cost 500 grand or something.
Yeah.
At the very least. And there, yeah, there's a helicopter. It's kind of wild. It's kind of wild.
I mean, that's one of the things I kind of love about this movie is even though it's schlocky, you can tell that it's just a bunch of people who don't really know what they're doing, but they're passionate about making this movie and they're just doing it, right? They're going for it. They know how to crash cars.
They know how to blow themselves up. They know how to like set themselves on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a movie cobbled together to showcase that. But yeah, in terms of other things, they don't know have any clue. And it just reminds me of if you had given us 500 grand 10 years ago.
This is what we would have made.
I mean, something like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's fucking Drago. Here he comes. And Andy comes out with a duster.
And a tiny
saw
plane.
Dude.
Saw dude. I've been making some ribs. let's do this, man.
Let's get into it, man.
It opens up with some Corvette shit for 3 minutes. Yeah, this guy's just driving around in this ridiculous car, which I guess is supposed to show that he splurged after the diamond heist and is being stupid about it. He's got this chick with him. Nos in the back seat. All kinds of stuff. You can actually see a crew member running in the background after he turns the NOS on. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I didn't catch that.
I mean, that's the least thing wrong with this movie, but he cranks the NOS. She's like, what's that? I haven't seen Fast and Furious. It's not out yet, baby. And then right before he takes off, they'd done a wide shot of this empty street and this empty fields on either side. And then in the close-up, you can see a guy, like I think a cameraman, running his ass off right behind the Corvette as it takes off. And that was as soon as the movie started. So I was like, nice, here we go. And you know, I usually don't notice that stuff.
It was obvious to you. Yeah.
There's a long driving sequence. And then he takes her to his little apartment. By the way, none of the doors in this movie have hinges. That's something that I learned in this universe because the dudes bust through the door, but it just completely falls in. And that happens again later. Bust in while they're having sex.
Yep.
And they're just so rude immediately. They're just like, shut up, bitch. And it's just so like, what is going on? Just
straight up punch her. And she immediately has like blood, like already on her face after he punches her.
Yes. They kidnap the guy and they want some info from him. They end up driving him to a helicopter, putting him in that, and then like dangling him out while they fly around trying to get info from him. We don't know what they're looking for yet, but it turns out to be the diamonds. He tells them it's in gym locker 12, and then they accidentally drop him in a river. Damn it, man. Land the helicopter.
I love this whole helicopter bit because it goes on
a long time.
So long. It's so excessive. Like it's just him like, I'm out here. And then it would cut to like some just traffic. I'm still out here. And then cut back to her driving. I'm out here. And she's like, oh my God, he's on the helicopter. It goes on forever. And the fact that he somehow manages to get out of the helicopter situation only to be killed like immediately after is hilarious to me.
oh, it's so poorly written. But again, they just wanted to use their helicopter. They wanted to jump the bus. They wanted to do the car wreck. They wanted to show their buddy's cool Corvette.
Yep.
And they wrote the movie around that stuff. And you can tell, which is the same way John Wick operates. Like, they want to show their hand-to-hand combat skills. They want to, you know, utilize all the stuff that Chet Skahelski knows how to do. But it's in a way that's so glorious to watch. And it's a deep homage to all that. And I want to keep comparing this to John Wick, because that's not even remotely fair. But I'm just saying, like, the philosophy is the same. And I think that that's interesting. But yeah, so luckily, I forget her name. It's been a little while.
Carmen
is chasing to, like, help him. So she's there when he falls out of the helicopter. He gets in the car. I hated that he was mean to her, because she definitely was super useful.
Yeah,
and he gets in the car and he's like, fucking move over.
Yeah, like, she's so useful, because not only does she, like, go and try to find him, she's able to find him. She clearly, like, that's hard to do. Like, I wrote my note, like, how did she pick up, like, oh, that helicopter has him in it? Because she didn't know they took him in a helicopter.
She chased the helicopter down, and he's like, get out of the way,
bitch. Yeah.
Girls can't drive. You didn't even know what NOS was. and then, like, there's a scene where she almost falls out of the car. And then, like, there's all these traffic jam extras that are in like a giant fight. It's like a giant street. Right. They happen to wander into a street fight with a cop there. It's just like, knock it off, guys. And then he jumps this bus in this, like, Dukes of Hazzard grand stunt, and then just gets caught immediately because the car crashes on the other end.
Yeah.
It's so lame.
I love these little snippets of extras, because I think these are just friends of the people who made the movie. I get this. I get the feeling that a lot of people in this are just buddies. Because at one point the helicopter lands because they're out of gas. So the mustache guy and Perez, I don't think I ever got the mustache guy's name, but anytime the camera cuts back to them, they always have something vaguely hilarious to say, because it's just so macho, but like in that eye rolly, dumb, corny kind of way.
Yes.
And at one point, so they land the helicopter, and there's just this other car driving by, and like, we're just going to steal that car. And they open up the door, and there's just an old couple, and it's like, get out, old fart. And he gets out. And then as they drive away, the old man's like, don't take this car, it's paid for. But they've already driven away. The movie's so chock full of stuff like that. I love it so much.
Hey, and that's my car.
The people fighting, because there's the bus. It looks like a bus has hit an RV, right?
Yeah.
And the people are fighting. I assume the people in the RV are dressed up in some weird way. They're supposed to be foreigners, but they show up later in the movie in the bar scene. It's like the same people wearing the same exact outfits.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. And they're like, at one point, I think somebody starts kicking the police officer, and the kids are like, yeah, get him.
Yeah. Which, that's cool. Yeah, so they bust through the RV, and the other, like, the cool guy and Carmen are, like, crashed and stuck, just waiting. Billy Ray. They just grab him out of the car, and he looks at his girl, and he's like, into the line, babe.
Yeah.
And then he gets shot in the chest, and as he's dying, he goes, motherfucker.
Yeah, this is where I wrote my notes. Billy sucks, ha 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 ha, because... Yeah, he says, end of the line, babe. And she says something like, well, can't we just get you the money and, like, it'll be okay? And then Billy Ray looks to her and goes, like, too late for that. We're just going to have to die.
I left a jockstrap as a joke in the locker. Yeah. And then random dudes show up and start chasing the baddies off. And we realize that those guys are, God, this movie's wild. It's Clay Osborne, FBI, and his partner Earl McKinnon, who goes by Panama, and then he's trying to get her to calm down, and our protagonist, nice guy, just punches the woman in the face.
Yeah. He just fucking hits her. What? Immediately.
And who Panama's are we
supposed,
like,
to root for?
It's the 80s, man. So then they're talking on the phone. They've missed their flight by 10 minutes back to FBI land, wherever that is. And was that Langley? I don't know. No, that's CIA. I don't know. So then they're stuck in Texas. The extent of her characterization is that she loves to eat. So she's getting hangry. She wants to chow down. we do see that the baddies go to locker number 12 in the gym. He didn't say which gym. Doesn't matter. And it's a jock strap that just says, "Eat me, Frankie." So yeah. It was a trick. So then they go, "The girl," even though she shouldn't know anything about where anything is. Oh, by the way, we skipped over it, but there's this inane bunch of dialogue that comes into play later where Billy Ray's like, I don't know. Yeah, the chicken coop's nest is in the hammock. And she's like, what? And he just keeps going on and on. And turns out that's the clue to where the diamonds are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, they're grilling her about Frankie and the diamonds. And she doesn't know anything about anything. And they're like, did he say anything weird recently? And she's like, or unusual. And she goes, unusual? He was weird.
he was
talking about Billy Ray.
His life like he was making things up as he went along. I don't know why I was with him, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I've got daddy issues, all kinds of problems. That's the only reason I was there.
Yeah. Where else was I getting coke?
Clay ends up, for no reason, contacting the local small town sheriff, who's super sus. Sheriff Pritchard is a snitch. He calls Frankie immediately. By the way, just curious, where are you staying at? Oh, over here at Motel 6 off Shepherd. Oh, okay, good. All right, bye. Nothing bad's going to happen.
I'm just going to hang up the phone and call my real boss, Frankie.
And then we see a brief glimpse of Frankie, who's in a bathtub with two chicks. Don't get suds on my cigar, babe. Everybody's idea of, like, not Hugh Hefner, but the penthouse guy. I forget his name. But anyway, that's who I'm thinking of.
Larry something?
Larry. Yeah, you're right. Flint.
Flint. Yeah, there it is. I almost said bird, and I'm like, that's not the right Larry. No.
David? Larry David? Yeah, everybody's idea of Larry David is basically Frankie. But one of the ladies does get suds on his cigar. Dang it.
A toad of a man sitting in a soapy bathtub with two ladies on either arm. And he's just like, don't get suds on my cigar, broad. You're useless.
And then we cut to a long shot of Carmen in the shower because... and Panama is sick from the Siamese food in Texas. And a long scene about how they're not happy with their job, kind of foreshadowing the fact that they're just going to run off with the diamonds.
Fight crime, right? Serve and protect your citizens, defend the Constitution of the United States. And what does that get you?
Half-ass pension, be a security guard later.
If it doesn't dry up in time or if you don't die first.
Thanks, Obama. And then she gets out of the shower and goes to look through the window. And right then, one of those dudes just jumps through the window. And the way he does it is like, I gotcha.
Like he was waiting outside that window, like, any moment now, she's going to peek out and I'm going to get her. I'm going to break through this fucking glass and grab her like I'm the goddamn Kool-Aid man.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, and yeah. Like
a ridiculously short shootout. Like he just gets shot immediately. Yeah. They get away.
He did not have a plan.
No, not even a little. And his buddy's even like, if you aren't dead, I would kill you. I forget what his name is, but he's mad at his partner. And then there's another car chase where they like Dukes of Hazzard jump the cars and shit. And the dude just straight fucking explodes and then wanders around on fire shooting his gun. Which, again, is just like they wanted to do a set me on fire stunt because they're stunt guys, you know?
Yeah.
Let's do a fire thing, dude. Can we get a fire thing in here? Absolutely.
This is one of my favorite things about movies of this time. It's that when cars were constructed of pure gasoline. So just if they just roll over on their side, they'll just explode in the biggest explosion possible.
Every time.
Like the way that they filmed this guy's death where he like just doesn't make the ravine, but he kind of just softly lands on the side and then it just blows up. Hilarious. You know,
again, I watched Lethal Weapon, 48 Hours, Beverly Hills Cop, all the Jean-Claude Van Damme shit, all the Sly Stallone shit, even all the Chuck Norris stuff over and over and over and over, you know? So I probably would have unironically loved this movie when I was 10. I'm not above it, but this is ridiculous. I can't in good conscience recommend this to anybody ever. So then Frankie's tired of everybody screwing up. He wants Drago picked up at the airport. And Drago, so Lucky and Hitch go to pick him up.
This is one of the funniest visual gags ever, and I don't think it's supposed to be funny. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The big plane pulling away and the tiny plane there, and it's just, oh, wait, that's him. And it's this fucking old loser who looks ridiculous getting out of this tiny, ridiculous plane. It's like
a duster and a cowboy hat.
Yeah, it's like an airplane joke or something that would be in Kung Pao or something.
Yeah. I was rolling on the floor. I was like, so Lucky and Hitch.
Do they think that tiny plane's cool or is this supposed to be a Mel Brooks gag? I can't tell.
It has to be a joke, right? It has to be. Because Lucky and Hitch are just on the runway and there's this, you know, smaller jet and like people are walking out of it. And Lucky's like, oh, is that him? Is Drago coming? And Hitch is like, because Hitch is always chewing gum inexplicably. He's just like,
giant wad of gum.
Oh, I don't know why he called Drago. I would do it myself. Maybe I'll kill Drago myself. Is that? And then they're like, oh, is that him? Nah, that ain't him. And then the big plane just pulls forward, revealing this itty bitty little matchbox car size plane. And this, and like your best friend's lame dad when you were 10, struggling to get out of it, dressed up as a cowboy. And then he does this thing where they think it's cool that he can pick up his plane because it's so small. He can like lift it up and push it because he lifts it up.
He just moves it a couple feet,
but just moves it like a foot over.
I didn't get that at all. He's like points it in a different direction.
You heard of Rome?
They're like, why are you dressed like that? And he's like, cause when I'm in Texas, I dress like a Texan. Is that how Texans dress? I don't think so.
He just believes in stereotypes. So wherever he's at, he's in the kind of offensive stereotype dress of that place.
He wants to drive Hitch's car, scoot over, bitch. And he's like, this thing is really hot. So am I. And then they start making out.
They wanted to.
They start swapping Hitch's gum. and then our protagonists, the FBI agents and Carmen, the abusive FBI agents and Carmen pull up
right
as they drive away.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, the bad guy's like, let's go get him. They pull forward right as the good guys pull up, like, let's go find a plane out of Texas.
And throughout this entire movie, there is no good reason why the bad guys know where the good guys are at any point.
They're just always there.
They're just always right behind them or right in front of them in this case. But they pull up. The flight's gone again. They can't catch a flight on time for shit. This is before apps and stuff.
This is so funny because they're trying to get the ticket. And the woman's like, you know, oh, I'm sorry. That flight's all booked up. And he's like, oh, come on. We're FBI. We really need to get out of town. She goes, oh, well, that plane already left. Like, her reasoning just keeps changing.
Yeah, she's working for Frankie.
Is she? Did they reveal that? Oh, no. That would be better because he's like, when's the next flight out of Texas?
Oh, do your job.
That's not until fucking Monday.
I like the idea that Texas is just this like black hole that the FBI city slickers can't escape, which is like realistic, you know, and nobody in this state gives a fuck that they're FBI agents either, which is also probably realistic. Oh, okay. Are you Walker, Texas Ranger? Because if not, I don't care.
That's the only authority I subscribe to.
That's it. Are you Jesse James? If not, no. All right.
Hey, let me ask you a serious question, Mr. Federal Bureau of Investigations. Do you even remember the Alamo?
the fucking honky tonk lady kills me later. She's like, look, man, it's ladies' night, not FBI night. $3, you know. But also the fact that they don't want to pay the $3 so badly is so funny to me. They're like, no, we don't make that much.
She has a great line because they're like, I'm in the F. She's like, it's $3 cover charge. I'm in the FBI. Well, I guess it's a dollar a letter then. God yeah. damn, this woman's killer.
This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about we don't do that? I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
It's the month of February, so you know what time it is. It's time to thank our patrons. Every single one of you that helps keep the lights on at Streaming Things, thank you so much. But we want to give a special shout out to our super patrons, and here they are. Thank you to Stanton Valentino, Mattelstat, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Ashley Hazen, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Will Tickler, Svento 7, Jay Scramo, Bluff Pump, aka Ashley Ray, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, Michelle, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and of course, Enza. And with that, let's get back to the show.
But yeah, so they call their FBI boss, like, dude, there's no flights out of Texas. This place is wild. He's like, it's all right. We'll just meet you at the border. Meet us there. I'm not going to send you any help, though, even though we're a part of this giant nationwide spanning organization. But we find out he's dirty.
Yeah. Mr. Conover is his name. And this guy, mm-hmm. This actor that plays Conover, he has one of those voices that sounds like he wakes up every morning and gurgles asphalt. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, how's it going? Like, literally the scene opens up with him trying to get his fuck on with the secretary. Like, you like pizza? You want like, you and me go get pizza later? Like, my dude, that like, never worked.
Please
get a slice.
I'd like a slice of that.
And
then we get the scene where Hitch and Drago compare all the prisons they've been in. They just name all the famous prisons. Rikers, Sing Sing, fucking Alcatraz. It's like,
Johnny
cool, man.
Cash.
All right. Folsom Prison.
Lucky's just like, I can't wait to be experienced like you two when I grow up.
People really think this, like, oh, he's done a hard time. I should listen to him. Like, no, he's very clearly... You know who you want to take crime advice from? Somebody who's never been to prison.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're successful right. at it. Yeah. I get caught every time. Follow me. It's like, oh, all right.
I do love how the protagonists are in like a, they're at some sort of restaurant, like a salad bar. And there's a wooden lattice that separates the dining area from like, I guess the hallway that enters. And
they're just watching them and talking shit.
Yeah, and they're just these three hardened criminal assassins. One of them named is Drago, is just kind of holding around. Like, there they are. They're having the number three special. Looks good.
<That's> compared- I'm not going to lie. I'm really hungry.
Lucky, don't get any ideas. We're here on business.
He's young and he's hungry. Leave the kid alone. And so they easily get the girl. Like, just they're like, come here. And she's like, okay.
And so, yeah, they're just like, pardon me, ma'am. Can you help me with this? I gotcha.
Yeah.
So easy.
And then she tries to seduce them and none of them are having it, right? At first I thought Hitch was real horny, but no. And Lucky's not having it either because he's going to copy Hitch and turn her down. And then she tries it. She tries it on Drago and he just slaps the shit out of her.
How many times has this woman been hit so far in this movie? Like at least three times?
She goes, "What do you do?" And he goes, "I bury people, bitch." So they end up, and then at that moment, Panama and Clay show up and start shooting at him.
How'd they find him?
We don't know. They just run and leave the girl in the car. Like,
they don't even run far away. They just run to the other side of the room so that they can go get her and run back. Like, damn it, Lucky, you left the keys in the ignition.
Yeah, that's their big speech to teach the young criminal. Always take the keys when you flee like a sissy from a gunfight.
He's trying his best. He's just a boy.
And we always hide behind these little poles like we're in a cartoon. That's what we do. Follow me. It's ridiculous. But they get the girl back immediately. And then they're driving down the road. And Texas is bigger than most countries.
Yeah.
By a huge margin, right? And yet, they just happen to be driving down this road when she remembers that Circle D Ranch, which is right next to them, was one of the things recently mentioned by Billy Ray. And she remembers all the weird shit he was saying about the snow and the ice. And then that's how they find the diamonds, just easily and immediately just find these diamonds. They didn't even know diamonds existed. And it's like he starts willy-nilly dumping them in her hand. Like, woo!
Woo!
Don't forget, there's no official record of these, foreshadowing. And then we get the most bizarre dialogue I maybe have ever heard. It just cuts to Hitch, Lucky, and Drago. And I think the scene starts this way. I can't remember, but it's just them driving. You know what I hate? God. You know what I hate? What? The smell of dry piss, alcohol, and death. And then he's like, "Yeah, me too. I love my mommy." And I'm like, "What?
Good thing we still got our moms with us. What would we be without our moms? I'm an orphan."
What the fuck is going on?
They're just fucking vibing. Like Drago at one point's like, "I swear to God, my mama's going to live her life out in style." And Hitch likes, "Fuck yeah, man." And they like literally they like fist pound each other because they're just like mama's boys. I wrote in my notes, they are vibing.
What does dry piss, alcohol, and death mean?
I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. I have no idea.
Let's make out. It's like ChatGPT just run amok in this car right now. Really, and then they see them and go, "Let's kick some educated ass."
Hell yeah.
They went to school and I hate them.
And then they start comparing guns to like Hitch, like pull up to the side and I'll shoot him. And Drago's like, "That ain't a gun. That's a pimple." And brings out like a pistol with a longer barrel, I guess.
Yeah, it's like the Dirty Harry Magnum gun.
Oh,
that's not a knife. This is a knife.
Every time they cut back and forth between, you know, our protagonist driving their car, the wide shot, and then back to Drago, Lucky, and Hitch, it's completely different times of day. Like Drago, Lucky, and Hitch are clearly shot at sunset in the evening, but then every other part of the scene is played out in midday, broad day.
And they're always, in each one of these car fights, they're always shooting at each other until they're right next to each other and couldn't miss. And then they're just looking at each other.
Yeah.
Again, they might know how to do stunts, but they don't know how to shoot action at all. But immediately, Clay shoots the tire on the... And it's so funny because Drago is like a dumb piece of shit. And he's like this secret weapon that Frankie brought in. Because immediately he's like, "Let's kick some educated ass. I love my mommy." And then just immediately the front tire gets shot in there. And he's like, "Fuck, go change the tire. Hurry." So they get away, but decide to stop at a hoedown. Because their car's overheating. I think the hood got shot. So the engine's been injured. And this is where we get the whole...
engine's been injured. Somebody call the doctor. This engine's been injured.
Yeah. I'm the guy that wrote Drago's dialogue. the engine's been injured. And this is where we get the whole bit with the lady that takes her job very seriously. It's a dollar a letter, I reckon. It's ladies' night, not FBI night. So then Drago and the boys show up to the hoedown immediately. And he's like, you guys stick out like a couple of hard-ons. You better put some cowboy hats on. Oh, okay.
You got to look like the enemy. Stick with me and you'll live forever, kid. This whole entire scene, the entire hoedown set piece is where I really was like, okay, the editing is real bad in this movie. I already knew that before, but it sticks out purposely to me this time. When the action scene starts, there's like a...
Have Carmen ignoring it and singing karaoke.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in the script, what's supposed to happen is the fight starts, everyone's getting beat up, and Carmen goes up on stage and sings to distract everybody, and then the fight stops because she's singing. Now everyone's like, oh, awesome girl singing. This is great. Yay. So she's supposed to take the action to stop the fight, but the way they edit it makes it seem like she's like, they'll be all right. I just want to go party.
I'm just really wanting to have a good time because she's out there just dancing and shit at first, and then she's singing karaoke. After they grab Clay like while she's singing. And she's just like, I don't give a fuck. That guy punched me. He can die, which is fair. They went ahead and put some more boobs in the bathroom just in case you were getting bored. They made sure to do that, too.
What was that woman? So Clay's trying to get into the bathroom thinking that she's might have been taken. And she's like screaming because like the noises he hears is like, no. Yeah. And then it's just a woman getting sexed by a dude, and he's like, "What your turn, perv?" Like,
does he mean for her or for the bathroom?
Yeah, oh, both.
Wait your turn. Yeah, she's just in there. But yeah, they grab Clay, and then Panama's like, "Don't worry, he'll be fine. They can't do anything to him until they get you." Why?
Yeah, seriously.
He's safe as long as I've got you. Why? There's no philosophical reason why that's the case. They could just kill him, and then now they've only got to worry about you two.
Hold on. Sorry. There's one thing I want to know if you know what this means, because I wrote it down because I had no clue what the fuck they meant. So they've taken Clay. They have him in the car, and it's implied that Hitch and Lucky are like putting the screws to him or something.
Sure.
This is before Panama and Carmen come out and leave. But Drago walks up and he leans in. It's like, looks like you boys told him a joke. And then Hitch responds with, yeah, I told him number 6.
I didn't even hear what that line.
Fuck, does that mean?
I don't know. They've got a list of torture jokes, and there's 12. And they've agreed upon. I don't know. I didn't even hear that line.
I was too busy.
I was too busy recovering from the karaoke fight scene thing. But they take him off. Panama and Carmen end up all on foot through Texas, walking through the boonies. And then they walk up on a group of what I assume is an illegal immigrant group joke. He reveals that he's FBI, they all take off running. And she's like, no, 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 no. And she speaks Spanish. And that's how they end up getting a borrowed truck. And then again, her only character trait is that she's always hungry. So the minute they get in the truck, she's like, I know there's a lot going on right now, but I need to eat. So they stop to eat. And of course, Drago is literally right behind them somehow, but unbeknownst to anybody, even him. And they stop for gas at the same place happened to. And then they're also getting an oil change. And Hitch is like arguing with the guy about what kind of oil to put in the car. And there's the whole hillbilly dude bit. We ain't got no 30 weight or 40 weight. Like, what kind of oil do you have then, buddy? What's going on here? Tastes and then they see each other. They eat oil here. There's another car chase. They end up driving through those poor people's fucking house.
Oh, yeah.
Except I don't even know who that guy, who the fuck is that guy that drives through the house?
They almost hit another car, and Tony Hawk, it looks like Tony Hawk driving the other car. Tony Hawk swerves out of the way and drives through someone's house. they cut to the owner of the house going like, ah, you drove through the bedroom. Tony Hawk says, sorry, buddy, and drives off. And then the house fucking explodes.
Because they hit that dude's meth lab in there, I'm thinking.
I get. Yeah, that's where, it's right past the bedroom.
That's why he was like, not the bedroom.
No.
Yeah, the whole fucking house explodes. I don't know, man. There's a whole lot of shit that goes on in this scene.
Okay. At one point,
my favorite line of all time is right. Is this what you're about to say?
Maybe.
How do you want to be buried? Ass up or head down?
Isn't that the same thing?
Face down, ass up. That's the way we like to fuck. That's what Drago's saying. And then Drago just fucking, right after he says that, he just fucking falls out of the car. And he's such a dork.
He's so inept.
And then Lucky and Clay like burst through the back windshield. God damn. And Lucky shoots Hitch because they're wrestling, right? Who, of course, hits the gas. Why wouldn't you? And now Clay's got to jump onto the truck.
Yeah, Clay jumps onto the truck. Lucky rolls off the car. And Hitch, of course, is driving towards a truck that just says explosive on it. And then he goes, I'll see you in hell, Lucky, because they're bros.
That's my boy. I love you, dude. He's got the same relationship, I think, that Locke has with Boone and Lost. That's the Hitchy and Lucky. Hitch and Lucky relationship. But also during all of this, Panama had gotten shot, right? Yeah. So we cut to Panama in the hospital, and he finally reveals the source of his name, Panama. It's because my parents hated New Jersey. Okay.
I thought it was going to be something more meaningful to the plot or something, but
Carmen has fallen in love with Clay, who's done nothing but beat her. and she doesn't want to leave her new FBI boyfriend. And they have a scene on this bridge and he says, I'm not sure I even want to, is it time to say goodbye? And he says, I'm not sure I even want to say goodnight. And she says, then don't, which is kind of a decent line where they could like sleep together at that point, maybe in like an 80s action movie style way. Yeah. But instead he's like, actually, I have to, I'm tired. Essentially, I have to get up early.
So I kind of was looking down, writing notes right when this happened. So I hear, you know, I'm not even sure I want to say goodnight. And he's like looking at her longingly. And then when I look back up is when it fades back to her waking up, sleeping in the bed and turning over and fucking Drago's there like, ha ha, gotcha. So I wrote in my notes like, oh no, she slept with Drago.
She had to, bud. No, he was just like, I got to, the day's almost over and I don't want to break my Duolingo streak.
I got to please that fucking bird.
Me and Drago are head to head and he keeps taking high score. Yeah, but Drago's just there watching her sleep. And she's, I thought you were dead. They don't build a bullet big enough. They don't build bullets. I don't feel like
your bitch ass fell out of a car last time we saw you.
How do you sleep? Face down or ass up?
It works so well.
Yeah. They end up fucking, anyway, there's this whole scene. They throw Lucky off the roof. And that's, again, that's a stunt guy being like, I want to do the thing.
Dude, the editing is so hilarious. Like before they even get to that building, they're having a shootout.
They used to do that though. When people fell off, they would fall, cut to them higher up falling from a different angle, cut to them higher up falling. Like they used to do that.
No, but I mean like before they even get to that building, they're doing that shootout in the street. They do that same editing principle, but with them on the street. So they would make their way halfway down to the street, cut to Clay shooting at them, cut back to the boys who are somehow back to the front of the street, walking backwards again. It takes them a solid minute to get down this one block of road.
Scene in Kung Pao when he's running. I'm coming. And he just keeps starting back where he started.
I do love, if you watch that scene, it's hilarious because there's a shootout. Drago is just, he's just a giant target because he's wearing a white hat with a white duster that's all the way to his feet. He's a giant target, but he's never taken cover. He's just always in the middle of the street. But if you watch Lucky in that entire scene, I love that guy's energy because he's just like rolling around and doing six spins, and he's just in it.
He's doing his best.
It's hilarious. And then he's just a kid. And then they're fighting him in the building, and he goes to shoot Clay, and he's out of bullets or something. He's like, unlucky. And then he he punches him straight through the glass window, and that's when he falls.
Yeah. Yeah. It falls a long way to his death.
Guess you're not so lucky.
And then Drago busts in. I'm going to teach you the Sing Sing Slice, son. And then when he hits him and he goes, look at that vertical blow.
What? Drago's doing his own color commentary as if he was a pro wrestler.
Like, he's JR.
Have you ever seen, it's a clip from, it's like Booker T, and he has like the microphone, and he's in the ring. He's like, Booker T's lining up this guy. Booker T's going to kick him. And then he would kick the guy. Oh, he just kicked that guy so good.
No, but that's so what he's hilarious. Doing. When she hits him with a board with nails in him, he goes, oh, there's nails in there. Yeah. Like, we didn't already see that. But that hurts him so bad, he runs off. And then she's shitty with Clay because they didn't fuck.
No. Well, yes, she is that. But Drago goes running off. They just had this big fight. Smash cut to her going, are you hungry?
Every time. That's her only character trait, dude.
Oh, I died.
Then we get to the end of the movie, gleefully, finally. And the FBI, Conover's there waiting on the bridge, like he said it would be, which I suppose is supposed to be the border, but it's very clearly just like a bridge in Texas that they got, or probably Southern California that they were able to use. It looks nothing like a border. But some guys are just playing on dirt bikes nearby, thankfully. So he leaves her there and grabs one, rides up on a dirt bike. We find out Conover's dirty. And he's give me the diamonds. It's all over for you. Meanwhile, she's whipping up a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah.
She's pouring some gas in a jar. She knows what to do. They've got Panama trapped in a TNT laced car. Like it's a fucking Looney Tune.
yeah.
Carmen rolls up, throws the Molotov cocktail, blows up the cars. A bunch of people fly flaming off the bridge. Again, stunt guys were like, Carl got to get set on fire. I want to do it.
I want to do it too.
Clay immediately loses another fight as usual.
Yeah.
The FBI ends up pulling a fucking Uzi on Drago as he runs off with the diamonds.
Do you understand why they turn on each other? Because Drago just shoots a random FBI guy, goes fucking yuppie and shoots him, gets on the dirt bike and tries to get away before Conover just Uzis him down.
I don't think it matters, but I think my understanding is that Drago is diehard for Frankie, whereas Conover's just going to keep the diamonds.
Okay.
You know?
And Drago is supposed to have the diamonds.
Yeah, and I think they double-crossed each other in that moment.
It just wasn't, like, super clear.
Right. But then all the FBI gets shot as well and accidentally blows up Panama because he was like, it was the kind of detonator where if you release it is when it blows up, and he had already pressed it. But, Panama got out and crawled to a tree. And, like, he even describes it. That he had to just like slowly roll over to it while they were doing all that stuff.
I want that cut of the movie.
Please.
Yeah.
And then he had stolen some of the diamonds. Oop, guess that bag had a hole in it. And they get to be three rich, happy friends now. Carmen and Earl and Clay. But he still beats her.
Oh, yeah.
Which is unfortunate. Sure.
I love the wide shot of them walking down the bridge because it's Clay and Panama talking to each other. And
the ADR, like they just used my USB mic.
Yeah, it sounds really bad. And even in that wide shot, you just see a boat of fishermen that definitely have nothing to do with the movie, like just slowly float across frame. But then,
doesn't it just make you want to go make a movie though? Because we can.
It really does. It has that energy of like, wow, they did it. Like, I don't think it's a good movie, but boy, they did it. And that's way better than most people can claim. And they had fun doing it, it looks like. I feel like they had a good time. I mean, the guys who play Hitch and Drago are probably married now. They clearly enjoy each other. But then we get a blooper reel of sorts. They keep like
just one. It's just one scene.
Oh, there are several bloopers. They would play a blooper, go to credits, go back to a blooper, go back to credits.
Oh, I only saw the one with I think the first one was just Drago and the FBI guy on the bridge, right?
Yeah. All of the bloopers are just, they're not funny. They're just the actors being bitchy to each other, like, ah, fucking Dale ruined the shot. And then would cut.
Yeah.
Like, I can't fucking do this line. And like, they're just being bitches about it.
I think I look cool in this duster.
But I got a question for you, Chris, before we move on from this movie.
Okay.
How do you want to get buried? Head down or ass up?
I want to be face down and ass up if I could, please. Like I am in Flea Bottom. I want to die as I lived, Steve.
Oh, that makes me so happy for you.
Face down, ass up. I actually did. I think I rated Action USA, Kung Pao, and Tenet all the same, which is, it's going to, people are going to love that.
Wow. But really? What did you rate them?
If not, it's close. 3 stars.
Oh, okay. Well,
I have a certain amount of respect for every one of these movies that we're talking about this week. I can't say that I loved any of them. But I have, for different reasons, respect for each of them. So, haha, Ricker, joke's on you. I mostly enjoyed Action USA. So look forward to our Star Wars marathon next week. We've got a bunch more patron movies coming up soon. Things like Moneyball, Starship Troopers, Grand Budapest Hotel, Howl's Moving Castle, or Spirited Away, I think. But yeah, so many gems coming up over the next few weeks. So stay tuned. Thank you guys. By the way, we should have said this on the Tenet episode probably, but we're experimenting with a different recording method this week. So the timbre might be a little different. Might not. Steve's a wizard. You're a wizard, Steve.
Ooh, it'll definitely sound different.
Yeah. So just want to call that out. But thank you, guys. Thank you, Ricker, for choosing that, for supporting the show. We hope we did it justice. We love you so much. That's all the time we've got for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes before they probably explode. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this, Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.